There are government and some people want to negotiate with the people who are individuals, or they are a group of people with different mindset or approach towards Islam and Islamic Sharia. They are not representing any country. Actually, they are non-state actors. Should we negotiate with such people?
You see, whenever we want to solve a problem from a religious point of view, the first thing that we ought to know is whether God Almighty Himself has given certain principles, rules of conduct to follow or not. Because quite often what we find is that people are quoting incidents, historical events, and it seems that every person has a point of view which is based on some historical reference. The truth of the matter is that the Almighty has clarified the Islamic understanding about various matters clearly in the Quran. Not that the Quran is mentioning every detail of the structure of an Islamic state, but what he has done is that he has mentioned principles which, if properly followed, we would know what exactly is expected from Muslims when they behave in their collective matters. All other incidents, events, historical references have to be seen in the light of what the Quran is saying, and not the other way around. It's not that the Quran is a book that needs to be just recited and we learn our Islam from historical events, which, by the way, are not reliable ever, because you would never know what exactly are the details. So let's try to find out what the Quran says about matters that have got to do with the collective affairs of Muslims. One important verse which is mentioned in the Quran is the 59th verse of Surah An-Nisa, the 4th chapter. It says, "Believers, atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul wa ulul amri minkum." Obey God, obey the messenger, and those in authority amongst you. In other words, if you have a state which is ruled, run by its rulers, everybody else has to follow them, obey them. It's not that you would always agree with your rulers. At times you will be in a situation where you strongly disagree with the rulers. God Almighty has actually mentioned what needs to be done in such situations. So for instance, in this particular verse, immediately afterwards, the Almighty mentions, فَإِن تَنَازَاتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. So if you dispute with them in some matters, فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, then refer those matters back to God and His Messenger. That is, make some arrangements in the form of the courts of law, in the form of panchayat, in the form of some way of coming together, in the form of jirga, where you refer the matter to some responsible individuals and they take a decision and then follow that decision, the rulers as well as those who have disputed with the rulers. The other important principle that the Quran mentions is that Muslims in their collective affairs must make sure that they involve in mutual consultation. All their matters ought to be decided on the basis of mutual consultation. The principle is so important that when you read it in the 38th verse of Surah Shura, the 42nd Surah, you find that the Almighty is mentioning that believers are those people who establish regular prayers. And then the verse goes on towards the end to mention that they spend from the wealth that the Almighty has given them. And in the middle of the two, it says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Their matters are decided on the basis of mutual consultation. Now, mutual consultation is a way of dealing with matters that would vary from situation to situation when it comes to its implementation. The principle is consultation. If you are living in a tribal society, it has its own structure. Each tribe has its own chief. The chief should consult his other members of the tribe. But if a number of tribes together make a country, a republic, then all the tribal chiefs should come together and they should negotiate and do consultation. Modern democracy, which by the way is the end result of the experiences and the intellect that God has given them, that has actually enabled humans to come up with this system, which is based on the same principle that the Almighty has mentioned, Amruhum Shura Bainahum, that your matters, your affairs should be conducted on the basis of mutual consultation. Now, when after having gone through a process of elections, granted, conceded, that our system is not perfect, we need to improve upon it. There are a number of weaknesses that need to be corrected. However, it still is based on the principle that God has given in His book, which should never be violated. And when we follow that principle and we make a new government which comes into place, it enjoys full authority from God to run its affairs. Now, we might have different disagreements with the government. We might say that in certain matters, the government is not running the affairs on the basis of what the Sharia says. We have a right to mention what we have in our mind. We have a right to convince people. We have a right to influence the parliamentarians. But it has always got to be done within the limits of decency, with the limits of the law that the Muslims have decided to follow. And of course, the one of the biggest requirements of the Islamic law is that lives, the wealth, and the honor of the citizens has always got to be fully preserved and secured. So if there are non-state actors who think that they have a point of view which is more important and worthy to be considered, and if the government, the rulers, they think that let's negotiate with them, there's nothing wrong in it. However, one important consideration while negotiating should be that those who are negotiating with the government, with the rulers, they ought to ensure that they are not going to take any action that is going to cause trouble in the society. And once the negotiations conclude, whatever decision is taken, it would be implemented. Because if you have a point of view about what Islam is, I may have a different point of view. And when we have a dispute, the only way of coming to a conclusion is through dialogue, through negotiations. And Amruhum Shura Bainahum is a principle which is applicable in all affairs, in ensuring that we have rulers on the basis of this principle, or in coming to a decision with regard to a dispute. Now, the Almighty also mentions that if Muslims, two groups amongst Muslims, dispute with each other, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, if they are fighting with each other, make peace between them. By the way, these two groups are not the rulers and non-state agents. In that case, the non-state agents ought to follow and obey the rulers. That is what the Quran says. That is what the Almighty's command is. So that really is something absolutely clear. However, if there is a dispute and the Muslims decide to resolve the dispute on the basis of their mutual consultation, they can do so. But then as a consequence of whatever decision is taken, it will be then implemented in the society, and no individual, as I keep repeating the fact, no individual should be allowed to cause disruption in the society. If there are people who claim that our government, our rulers, are not ruling on the basis of Islamic principles, and therefore they are not Islamically correct, legitimate, well, that could be a point of view. But that point of view has to be seen along with other points of view. And when you have a group of 20,000, 30,000 people, well, this country is actually inhabited by 180 million people. And therefore, it's not that 20 or 30,000 or maybe 50,000 people's opinion is going to be allowed to be imposed on the rest of the population. If you think that your point of view is the true, legitimate Islamic point of view, well, the opportunity is available to you. Go to the society. Alhamdulillah, in our society, there is freedom of speech. which is exactly in accordance with what the Quran and the Almighty says. You make use of this opportunity, convince people, preach to them, teach them, allow others to come up with their point of view.
What you are doing it.
Absolutely, that's what we are doing. And if we are unable to convince the majority, we will live with the reality that as yet we have not been able to do enough, and that's what the Almighty wants to see happening, that we continue to make efforts to convince people. The Prophet, may God's mercy be on him, he preached in Mecca for 13 years, and then he migrated to Medina, where he was virtually the ruler of the state, city-state. And yet, the messenger of God, God's revelation was getting revealed on him. And yet, God's Sharia was not implemented overnight. It took years to get implemented gradually. And during this while, there was a time when Muslims would pray, and yet some of them would still continue to consume intoxicating drinks. This is because God knows that things cannot be imposed on people overnight. You have to pave the way for it. And of course, in a situation like ours, you have to convince them. And who is stopping you from convincing them? And let me say towards the end, honest to God, these people who are trying to impose Islam on the population, and they are trying to use guns and killing people in the name of Islam, they are drawing the population away from Islam. It is causing hatred in the minds of many intelligent people about the point of view and at times the faith that they are claiming to be representatives of. So I think our friends belonging to these groups should realize that what they're doing is wrong, un-Islamic, and they should try to understand the true, correct Islamic point of view and start behaving in a manner that would attract people towards Islam rather than draw them away from it.
Thank you very much.